So welcome back, church, to Family Matters. Family Matters. In particular, back to Marriage Matters. A couple of weeks ago, we started this study and we looked at the idea of God's view of marriage. And we looked at a couple of different things regarding that. Number one, that it was God's gift to us. That when God gave Eve to Adam, he gave Eve to Adam, he brought them two together that for their happiness, for their fulfillment and their completion in that physical unity. And so, yes, in marriage, God desires us to be happy. But it's not just God's gift. In it, we also saw God's goal. And God's goal, while yes, the gift is for our happiness, God's goal in our life is always for our holiness, that we'd be developed in more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we made this statement in regards to that, that if we stop with it's God's gift to me to be happy, well, that's the shallow waters. And if that's where you particularly put your foot down to stay, you're going to struggle because sometimes the pool gets a little bit deep. And if you're not willing to learn how to swim when you hit the deeper waters, you're going to be looking for a way out. And so to understand this, is it for your happiness? Yes. But it's also for your holiness. And God uses that relationship to mold us to be more like Christ. Ultimately, we saw it's for God's glory that it is for Him. Now, tonight, we're going to continue to lay a foundation of what marriage is built upon by seeing marriage love's view. Because all good marriages are built on a foundation of love, right? Right, yes, yes. See, it's not a trick question, ladies and gentlemen. It's really not. Because all good marriages are built upon a foundation and depend upon love, right, church? Amen, amen. Some of you look like you believe it. Some of you look like you're wondering if it's still a trick question. It's not. The correct answer is yes. All right, so, but we need to understand what this love is. Because the world will tell you that love is spontaneous. It's passionate. And true love is self-perpetuating. It's the high that you never come down from. And it just goes on and on and on and on. But is that biblical love? Is that reality? No, because it doesn't take long to find out that some of this love that is marriage is less about the euphoric high, the infatuation, and it's more about how to live and work together through dirty dishes. Amen? A lot of them. Hair in the bathroom, a whole lot of that, and it's not where are we going to go out to eat tonight, it's are we seriously out of milk again, right? These are the kinds of things that marriage and true love has got to learn to work through, all right? So tonight, I want us to see the key to love's view of marriage in an often overlooked verse in Ephesians chapter number 5. So often when we jump right into Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves. But before we ever get to Ephesians 5:22, we have to go through Ephesians 5:21. So let's look at that together tonight. The Bible says this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Can you read that with me tonight as we get started? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, I understand the first word of that verse is a naughty word in our culture. Okay? I understand that the very concept of that, the very thought that somebody would tell somebody else to submit themselves is the height of political incorrectness, is the height of atrocity in the humanistic culture in which we live. But ladies and gentlemen, we have got to understand what God is teaching us tonight, okay? So I want us to, because this is God's word, not my word, right? I want us to say it together one more time. The Bible says what? It says submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Some very practical truths for you tonight. Roman numeral 1, you have to understand the definition of submission. You have to understand the definition of submission. Can I tell you what submission is not about tonight? It's not about significance. Meaning the biblical call to submit does not call into question an individual's value, worth, potential, or capacity. Meaning when the Bible tells us to submit, it is not meaning because somebody else is better than us, somebody else is bigger than us, somebody else is badder than us or somebody else is stronger than us. I had two rules when I was dating. I was a very immature college student. I had two rules. Number one, she couldn't be taller than me because that would just be weird. Number two, she couldn't beat me up with her own bare hands, okay? And she couldn't win an arm wrestling match. That was pretty much it. You know, other than that, we checked those two boxes. I was good. But this is not what submission is about. It's not a question of an individual's value. It's not a question of an individual's worth. It's not a question of potential. It's not a question of capacity. How do we know this? I think the Lord Jesus Christ is a beautiful example of this on several accounts. If you look in your Bibles at Luke chapter 2 and verse number 51, you're going to see this. Speaking of Jesus, and he went down with them, that's Mary and Joseph, and came to Nazareth. And was, what's that word? Subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Now, let me ask you, if submission was a question of value, who had greater intrinsic value, the Lord Jesus Christ or Mary and Joseph? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? The Son of God. If it was a question of potential or capacity or strength, who had more potential, capacity or strength than God himself? And yet God, who is of more value, more worth, more potential, more capacity, the Bible says, submitted himself to Mary and Joseph. I also think about this in Jesus' earthly ministry. Again, ladies and gentlemen, let me preface this with, this is not a trick question. Okay? This is not a trick question. You look at Jesus' earthly ministry, and when it comes to the relationship between God the Son and God the Father. Now, is God the Son and God the Father, are they equal? Yes. Yes, it's not a trick question. But in Jesus' earthly ministry, what do we see Jesus do? He submitted himself to God the Father. Though he was equal with God, Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says he submitted himself there. And so understand this about submission. It is not a question of value, worth, potential, or capacity. What it is it is a needed surrender. Now, let me give you a good definition, a couple aspects of it. It is to voluntarily place oneself under another. It is to voluntarily yield to the admonition or advice of another. This is the one I like best, to voluntarily cooperate or assume the responsibility. Now, this is a very practical outworking of the right kind of love in a marriage relationship. This is a very practical way that the right kind of love works out in a marriage relationship. That 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love. You remember back 1 Corinthians 13 beginning in verse 4? What do you see there about this? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And so we consider charity here, or love. Many of us have heard it called maybe agape love before. And what this love is this love seeks the highest good for another without expectation of return. It seeks the highest good for another without expectation of return. And this is how this idea of submission practically works itself out in a marriage relationship. Because I love you, I voluntarily submit myself, I voluntarily place myself, I voluntarily yield myself, assume the responsibility not to just live with you, but to live for you. Let's let that kind of sink in for a second. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It is the kind of love that voluntarily takes oneself, places oneself, yields oneself, assumes the responsibility not to just live with the spouse, but to live for the spouse. So now that we've got a working understanding of what the definition of submission is, I want us to see Roman numeral 2, a little bit of the development of submission. I want you to see first that it is a matter of discipleship. You look at verse 21, what does it say again? Submitting yourselves one to another. What's the end of that verse say? In the fear of God. David, could you get it back up there for me? That way everybody can see it. I don't know, everybody's right there. What does it say? It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Understanding that all that we do is under God. It is in reverence of what God has called us to. And when you begin to think about all that God has called us to, you begin to understand that this concept of submission of oneself, voluntarily giving oneself for another, this idea of surrendering oneself to the needs or betterment of others, runs all throughout our Christian lives. Understand this, Ephesians 5:21, it comes right here in the middle of the Apostle Paul's explanation of the practical Christian life. And really it applies to all of those aspects. You go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and you'll begin to see Paul as he begins to delineate the responsibilities that we have in our membership relationships with our fellow church members. Do you know that we have a responsibility as church members to submit or to surrender, to yield ourselves one to another? Philippians 2 in verse number 3 puts it this way. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other, what's the rest of that say? Better than themselves. And so Ephesians 4 teaches us that when it comes to our member relationships, that Ephesians 5:21 really is a key. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Ephesians chapter 5, where we are, the whole first part of that chapter is about our moral relationships. Putting off the old man, putting on the new man, not lying, stealing, cussing, all that stuff. Putting on the things of God. Don't give place to the devil. Well, how is it that we succeed in our moral relationships? By submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then we move on. The back half of Ephesians 5 is about our marital relationships. How is it that we accomplish or succeed in our marital relationships? Ephesians 5:21. Ephesians 6, our material relationships. Understand this, that the concept, this crazy revolutionary idea of a mutual submission where we love one another and seek their highest good is a pillar of our entire Christian lives. Let me put it this way. You can't follow Jesus Christ and be spirit-led without a surrendered, submissive heart. I'm going to tell you, it's no coincidence that three verses before this one, we have Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. All I'm going to ask is this. If it is a priority for us to live that way among the membership, and it's our priority to live this way in our moral relationship with those around us, and it's our priority to live this way in our work affairs and our material affairs, let me ask you, if it is a priority and a principle that we live that way with those that are without, how much more that we live this way with those who are within our own household? It is a matter of discipleship. It's a matter of discipleship. You see, we develop this as we walk with God. So we follow Jesus Christ. Not only is this a matter of discipleship, but understanding the development of submission, it is also a matter of design. Think about it this way with me. God has placed mutual submission as an integral foundation of marriage. Look at Genesis chapter 2, if you would, verses 23 and 24. The Bible says this, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Verse 24 here, I like to pull three principles out of that. You leave, you cleave, and you weave. I'm going to take the one that's less obvious tonight, the weave. That's the idea of one flesh. In other words, that there is a purposed priority that we pursue to not change each other, but to cherish each other. That there is a purposed pursuit that we blend our lives one with another, weave them in so that we are indeed one flesh. Because you see, that idea of one flesh is not just speaking of physical intimacy. It is speaking of all of life and how we come together there in the eyes of God. Now understand this, marriage is a journey of pursuing intimacy. You know what? If we're not careful, pursuits are given to shift and drift with time. You know, one of the things that I have found as I have read and studied and watched and observed and even seen in my own heart and life, if you're not careful, it'll be for any variety of reasons, but the subtle drift goes like this. You start with cooperation. It's we, us, team, woo-hah. It's all about the team. But somewhere along the line, the cooperation, the go team, breaks down and it becomes coexistence. I have my job. I have my job. I have the kids. I have the hobby. I have this. I'm busy. I'm trying to pay bills. I'm trying to keep this clean. Whatever it may be. We get bogged down in life and all of a sudden we slip out of cooperation and we drift into coexistence. You know what happens, though? You don't coexist for long until you start to compete. Because coexisting puts the focus off of the other and back on the self. And as soon as the focus is back on me, you know what I start to realize? Wait a minute. There's limited resources around here. There's limited time. There's limited money. There's limited affection. There's limited opportunity. Wait a minute. There are limited resources. And all of a sudden, coexistence drifts into competition. And competition, if you're not careful, ends in all-out combat. War. But it's subtle. You wake up one day and you wonder, how in the world did we get here? And I think one of the reasons we struggle with this so much is one of the profound mistakes we make in our society is this, that we view marriage as a destination. And buddy, once we get there, we are set. Once I get that ring and they get that ring and we say I do, you do, everybody claps, we kiss, woohoo. For the rest of our lives, we're on like an all expense paid vacation. It's nothing but sunshine and rainbows. Those of you who are engaged to be married, it's not the case. Marriage is not a destination. It is designed to be a constant journey of discovery. It is designed to be a purposed pursuit of intimacy by matter of design. And this idea of submitting ourselves one to another, it is moment by moment, day after day, that we are giving ourselves one to another, that we are giving ourselves to learn of the other, to grow in our knowledge and understanding of the other, in our care of the other, in our edification of the other. It's designed that way. It is a purposed pursuit of intimacy. Make no mistake, marriage was designed to be work. The development of submission. It's a matter of discipleship. You're going to get this as you follow God. Until you get this right with God, you're never going to get it right with man. Matter of discipleship. It's a matter of design. But I want to leave you with this tonight. It's also a matter of decision. To submit, to surrender, is a choice. What we have in Ephesians 5:21 is a command, submitting yourselves one to another. And where God gives us a command, He gives us the capacity to obey through the Holy Spirit. Now, we need an amen on that one. Where God gives us a command, He gives us through the Holy Spirit a capacity to obey. Amen? to command, to submit or to surrender. Remember, this means that we voluntarily place ourselves, yield ourselves, assume the responsibility not just to live with the spouse, but for the spouse. It's a choice. The agape love, 1 Corinthians 13 love, is a choice. It is a choice for me to wake up tomorrow and to seek the highest good for Amy without expectation of return. It's a choice. Either I will do that or I won't do that. But it's up to me, not her. It's a choice. Christian, it's a choice to die to self and to serve your spouse's needs. It is a choice to study and learn your spouse so that you can care for them more deeply each day. But I'll admonish you in this. In choosing to serve, in choosing to submit, even when you don't feel it, is not empty love. I would contend it is the highest love, because you are literally giving of yourself to them. It's easy to do right when it feels good. I'm going to tell you, right means a whole lot more when you do it by faith. Development of submission. It is a matter of discipleship. It is a matter of design. And it is a matter of decision. I'm going to tell you this as we close tonight. Relationships are not static. Relationships are not stationary. You're moving forward or backwards. And mutual submission as an expression of love will keep you moving in the right direction. Let me give you a nice little motto and then give a little explanation. Just a very basic surface way that this submitting yourselves can be lived out. I want to make you happy. I want to make you happy. Men, what would change if when we came to the front door tomorrow, before we entered the front door after work, we thought, okay, for the rest of the night, my motto is, I want to make her happy. Would it change what you said when you walked in the door? Would it change how you responded to the dinner situation? Would it change what you did with the dishes after dinner? Would it change what you did with the kids? Would it change what you did at bedtime? Would it change what you do at bath time with the kids? What would it change? My guess is it would change a lot. I want to make her happy. Ladies, what if we lived with that mindset? I want to make him happy. What would it change? I think about this when it comes to like quiet time. Instead of, I've had a hard day, I just want to watch TV, or I just want to look at the phone, or I just want to scroll social media, or whatever it may be. Because how many of us know we spend a lot of our quiet time staring at a screen to ourselves? How much would that change if instead of that we thought, you know, I wonder what would really meet her needs right now. I wonder what would really meet his needs right now with our schedules. If we orchestrated our schedules with the other in mind, honestly, there's no end to the application of this question. And I got to preface it with this. This is not the idea of giving them everything that they want, okay? This, I want to make you happy. It's not about me giving you everything you want. But it is the promise of that by me giving you all of me, that I will always put you before me. And I tell you what, if you came home every day to the knowledge that the person you were going to walk in and see, or the person who was going to walk through that door, you had absolute confidence that everything that they did and said, that you believed with all your heart, that it was their desire, that they were seeking to meet your need first, I tell you, it would transform our marriages. It would transform our homes. Now, if we're honest tonight, we have lost this in a lot of places. Probably more of us who care to admit find ourselves in the coexisting phase, or maybe even in the competition phase. But I want to encourage you tonight. We may have lost it, but we can reclaim it, because it's a choice. submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. We're going to get to all the rest of the stuff, but before we do, we got to know where we're coming from. Love's view of marriage. Father, we love you.